Okay, today's daf is Shavuos daf Hey. We were in the middle of discussing who the author of our Mishnah is, and we pointed out that if he keeps on saying all these things that are Shtayim Shehein Arba, there needs to be some consistency between the four cases that are Shtayim Shehein Arba. So the problem was that neither Rabbi Akiva nor Rabbi Shmuel can hold that you're chayav a korban in all of these cases of Shtayim Shehein Arba. Rabbi Akiva would hold that in cases of Shavuos, you're only chayav a korban in Shavuos about things in the future, not about things in the past, right? So that the Shtayim Shehein Arba of Shavuos can't be Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Shmuel would say, did I say it backwards? Was that Rabbi Shmuel? That when it comes to Yedios Hatuma, you can't have Shtayim Shehein Arba, because Rabbi Shmuel would say when it comes to Yedios Hatuma, the 1 second. Yeah, I'm sorry. Rabbi Shmuel holds about the Shavuos, and Rabbi Akiva would say when it comes to Yedios Hatuma, you're only chayiv carbon for Yedios Hatuma where you forget about the fact that you're tameh. But if you forget about the fact that you're in the mikdash, or you forget about the fact that what you're eating is kodesh, you're not going to be chayiv a carbon. So it can't be Rabbi Shmuel saying by the Yedios Hatuma shtayim shein arba. So the Gemara we saw yesterday said that it must be that it's Rabbi who holds like Rabbi Akiva in regards to the Yedios the Yedios Hatuma, and he holds like Rabbi Shmuel in regards to the Shavuos. I keep saying it backwards. That he holds like Rabbi Akiva in regards to the Shavuos, and he holds like Rabbi Shmuel in regards to the Yedios Hatuma, that it must be authored by Rabbi. So the Gemara says, well, how do we know that Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Shmuel in regards to Yedios Hatuma? Well, it's because he darshins, we know beferish that how he darshins the pasuk of Ne'elam, and therefore it's explicit that Rebbe holds by the pasuk of Ne'elam that both types of Ha'alem would be Mechayiv Yu Karban. There's an explicit brisa where Rabbi Akiva and Rebbe disagree on that point. But how do we know that he disagrees with Rabbi Yishmael about the situation of Shavuos? So we said about Shavuos of L'Sha'avar. So the Gemara says, well, he must agree with Rabbi Akiva about the situation of Shavuos L'Sha'avar, because Rabbi Akiva's whole shita that you're chayiv even on Shavuos L'Sha'avar is based on the fact that Rabbi Akiva, when he sees a general statement, a specific statement, followed by another general statement in the Chumash, Rabbi Akiva darshins it as a ribuy miut. Whereas others darshan as klal prat, and we know Rebbe also darshans riboy miut. So Rebbe, not that we have explicitly anywhere that Rebbe holds on this particular case of Shavuos like Rabbi Akiva, but since Rabbi Akiva's shita about Shavuos is based on a general methodology of darshaning riboy miut riboy rather than klal uprat uklal, so it must be that Rebbe agrees with Rabbi Akiva in regards to Shavuos l'sha'avar and not with Rabbi Yishmael. What's the difference between darshaning riboy miut riboy versus darshaning klal uprat? When one darshins klal upradu klal, we assume that it always has to be iatadan ela kein haprat, that a general statement followed by a specific followed by a general, so it comes to include not everything, it comes to include those things that are similar to a prat. The mashal, if I tell you eat lunch, have a bagel, go fill your stomach with food, so what I mean to tell you is to have something that's similar to a bagel. You have to have something like a roll, something like that. It has to be ke'ein haprat. Whereas if you darshan ribui miyut ribui, so then if I tell you eat lunch, have a bagel, go fill your stomach with food, so general statement, specific statement, general statement, we assume we're riba hakol, we're marba everything, except for one thing, except for we're mema'it, the one thing that's most dissimilar to a bagel, right? That would be the miyut. So that's the general methodology. So says the Gemara where we left off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Dalet Amid Beis. Amar le Ravina la Meimar, Rebbe Darish Ribuya Miyutei, Rebbe Klali Uprati Darish. Rebbe doesn't Darshin Ribuya Miyut. Your whole fundamental basis for saying that Rebbe holds like Rabbi Akiva in regards to Shavuos is you say that his methodology of learning is always a ribuy miut and not a klal prat. It's not true. We have a brisa that says explicitly otherwise. Titania, we have a brisa. Martzeya, when it comes to the Eved Ivri, when you have to pierce his ear after, if he says that Ahavtias Shives Adonia and that he wants to stay where he is, he wants to stay as an Eved. So we say you take a Martzeya Vinasata Vazno Vadelas, right? So what does it say? Martzeya is a very specific item. Ainli on the Martzeya. Minayin l'rabos, how do I know that in addition to a martzeya, you can also pierce his ear with hasul, a splinter, vasira, and a thorn, a machat, a needle, v'amekadeach, v'amekasev, some type of mekadeach, something, a piercer, and a mechasev, something that you would write with, right? How do I know you could use any of these sharp instruments to pierce his ear? Tamalomar v'lokach. Kol davar shenilkach biyad. So Pasuk says v'lakach, which is a very general statement, implies anything that you take that could be taken with the hand. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda shita. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says no. We dash as follows. Martzeya, mar martzeya miyuchad shel mateches. Just like a martzeya, that which you normally pierce an ear with is metal. Avkol shel mateches. So it has to be anything that's made out of metal. So v'amrin b'maykom miflgi. What are they arguing about? So Rabbi darish klali uprati. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda darish ribuyu miyutei. What they're arguing about is the methodology of darshaning. Rabbi darshan's klalu prat, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda darshan's ribu yumiyut. So that's why Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is marba hakol, he's marba everything. And Rabbi says, no, only ke'en haprat, only things that are similar to a martzeya. In what way did that have to be similar to a martzeya? They have to be made out of metal like a martzeya. But bottom line is, what do you see? That Rabbi doesn't rely on ribu yumiyut. Rabbi, in fact, darshan's klalu prat. Couple of points of Tosfos. If you look at the bottom three Tosfos in tiny little Tosfos on the bottom of Dalet and Beis, the tiny Martzeya having Mati le'suya mehida komitz Rabba gabi menorah shel eitz v'shel eiver v'shel gistron Rabbi Posev Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Demachshir. So first of all, the Tosfos points out this isn't the only place in Shas that we can come up with to demonstrate Rabbi Shita about klal l'prat klal. There are other places as well. This is just one example. Hasul v'asira v'amekadeach zu. Meaning the order of instruments that are mentioned over here, a splinter, a thorn, a needle, right? And it goes on with metal utensils. So he says, Zuve in tzarech lomar zukatani. It starts with the biggest chiddush. Sometimes you have lozu avzu, where you start with the smaller chiddush and move on to the bigger chiddush. And sometimes the style of Shas is to write in the style of Zuve in tzarech lomar zu, where we start with the biggest chiddush and say, and therefore, obviously, the lesser chiddush and the lesser chiddush. Ta'amekadeach u'machat u'machatev havalei l'misni b'resha. Because Rebbe's mode on the last few examples, because those are actually metal implements. All metal implements, Rebbe agrees, you can use. So it's the real chiddush of Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda is the first couple that he mentions. When he talks about using a splinter, he talks about using a thorn. Those are wooden instruments. So that's the real chiddush of Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda. So clearly it starts with the greatest chiddush. And the rabbis called davar and nilkach biyad, so Tos points out, lav dafka d'bimayit sam. No, it's definitely going to be mimayit something. So even Rebbe who says that it has that it's to be marba hakol, that it's to be, even Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that it's marba hakol, that it's anything that's nilkach biyad, anything that you take, it's not really true, because you could take some biyad also. Some is, you take some sort of chemical that will puncture a hole, pierce a hole through the person's ear, so that definitely you're not allowed to use. You need to use some sort of instrument. So even though that's also a metal flute, it's also something that you could pick up in your hand, nevertheless, that is excluded. So the expression called over nilkach miyad is biyad is not a precise expression in this context. But bottom line is where we are in the Gemara now, top of Hamad Aleph is we just said that Rebbe's whole basis for holding Rabbi Akiva like Rabbi Akiva in regards to Shmuel's Lisha Avar is the fact that he's darshan's ribu yamiyot. But here we just demonstrated Rebbe doesn't darshan ribu yamiyot, he darshan's klal prat. So it says Gemara in. You're right. Generally speaking, Rebbe does darshan klal uprat. Aye, but we demonstrated yesterday that there's an example where Rebbe darshan's ribuy umiyut. When it comes to pidyon aben, Rebbe darshan's ribuy umiyut. So how does that make sense? And the reason why by Pidyon Rabben, Rabbi Darshan's Riboy Miut is because Kiditana de Rabbi Shmuel, Ditana de Rabbi Shmuel, B'mayim B'mayim Shnei Pa'amim, Ein Ze Klal Uprat Ela Riboy Miut. That if the Torah puts the two Ribuyim, the two general statements right next to each other, without interrupting it with a specific statement, the specific statement just comes after. Instead of Klal Prat Klal, it's Klal Klal Prat, right? So then it's not a klal uprat. That's an indication that you're supposed to darshan it like a riboy miut. Meaning, then, even if you generally hold you darshan with the rules of klal uprat, if the Torah puts general, general, specific, that's an indication that you should darshan it as riboy miut, not as klal uprat. If you look at Tosos, Tan by Rabbi Shmuel b'mayim b'mayim shnei pamim tema. Rabbi Shmuel Tan yibirgul midus hatorin dreshes. Very Abam Kasha Tosas asks. He says, Rabbi Shmuel is the one we say every morning. He's the one that darshans the Yud Gim L'midah Shatar and Dreshes Ben. According to this, Rabbi Ishmael has a 14th Midah Shatar and Dreshes Ben. He generally holds Klal Prat Klal. But when you have Klal Klal Prat, he would say Riboy Miut. That you should darshan it as a Riboy Miut, and you should be Marba Akol. But where does he say that? He doesn't say that in Yud Gimel Shatan Drashas Ben. And this is Rabbi Shmuel. This is Kedetan Debe Rabbi Shmuel. So isn't Tan Debe Rabbi Shmuel the same thing as Rabbi Ishmael? It's Bam Kasha Tosas asks. So if you take a look in the Mitzvah Eson, we keep looking at it in the back of the Gemara, so the Mitzvah Eson says that don't tell me that that Rabbi Shmuel and Tan Debe Rabbi Shmuel are not the same. He says, because that's not true. That Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel, the Tosos, when he asks this kasha, is obviously assuming that Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel must line up with Rabbi Shmuel. And he says, V'nira da hainu mishum de Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, hainu toseftos shesida Rabbi Shmuel mitanaim shalafanav. What does Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel mean? It means it was taught in the house or in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel. So what does that mean exactly? Why does it have to line up with Rabbi Shmuel? He says it's a group of toseftos, a group of Tanaic teachings that came from Tanaim who lived before Rabbi Ishmael, that Rabbi Ishmael arranged and that Rabbi Ishmael used to teach. And that's how Rashi explains in Beit Zadav Chavtes, Tana Debei Shmuel is a group of Toseftos that Shmuel arranged and Shmuel taught. And Tosos in 3rd Perek of Ksubas, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph says, Tana Debei Chizkia is similar. Also, some earlier teachings that Chizkia arranged, Rashbam in Babasun Beis and Beis says, Kiddushin Debei Levi also means the same thing, that it's a group of earlier teachings that Levi arranged. So the point is, whenever you have something Debei so-and-so, it always means that it's a group of earlier teachings that he arranged and he used to teach. So what that indicates to you is he must hold that way as well. So he says that he quotes another sefer that holds that the Rabbi Shmuel is not Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, and Chizkiya does not agree with Tana Debei Chizkiya, and brings a raya from Parakei Tzadar Regel where it says Amar Chizkiya, and then it says V'chein Tana Debei Chizkiya, which implies that it's two separate things. But he says Rov Rishonim seem to assume that they do need to line up with each other. And then he quotes Ayin Pirush Rashi Zvachim Memalf and Beis, the Tana de Rabbi Shmuel Shanishnis Ministra Bebeis Midrasho Shal Rabbi Shmuel V'sidru Batanayim Harbei Kimosha Sidru Rabbi Chanin Rabbi Lazar V'sham Mashma the Talmidei de Rabbi Shmuel Shanu Bal Lufa'amim Milsud Losvile the Rabbi Shmuel. He says, but there is another possibility. Rashi in Zvachim says that the Tana de Rabbi Shmuel is not a list of earlier teachings that Rabbi Shmuel himself arranged. Rather, it's whatever was being learnt in Rabbi Shmuel's base medrash at the time. So very often, Talmidim of Rabbi Shmuel were learning other things, and they were learning things that did not necessarily agree with their Rebbe, but they were publishing Sfarim, it was a center of Jewish learning, and so they were, not publishing Sfarim, but they were arranging these teachings and disseminating them. So these teachings that they were arranging and disseminating were not always in agreement with the Rebbe, they weren't always in agreement with their own Rosh Yeshiva, but the Rosh Yeshiva wasn't makbid that every teaching that was disseminated be in agreement with his personal Shita. This is an important part of Jewish learning and an important part of our heritage to disseminate all the opinions of the Tanaim. So based on that Rashi, it seems that the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel does not have to agree with Rabbi Shmuel. If that's the case, Tosfos Kasha is answered, right? How could Rabbi Shmuel only have Yud Gimel Midrashat Torah and Midrashat Ben? Here we have Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel that has a 14th. Yeah, that's Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel. That's not Rabbi Shmuel himself. Fine. Back in the Gemara, fifth line, V'rabbanana maravina k'dami ma'arava kol makam shatamote shtei klalos hasmucha zel zeh hatel prat b'neim v'donim b'chal prat. The Rabbanan disagree with the Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, and they say, whenever you have two klalos that are right next to each other, and the prat is afterwards, take the prat and put it in between the two klalos. Treat it as if the prat is right in between, and treat it like a regular klal or prat of klal. Do not treat it differently and start acting as if it's a riboy miyut, and start treating it as a riboy miyut. You treat it as a regular klal or prat of klal. So hasha damit rabbi klal yoprati darish bal karche kasha shvuos. Okay, but the bottom line is, lemaskana, what do we assume is Rebbe's general methodology? What we just demonstrated is that Rebbe's general methodology throughout most of Torah is going to be klal or prat of klal. It's only if you have a unique circumstance where you have two klalim in a row without a prat in between them, that's where he's going to say ribuy miyut. But generally speaking, he's always going to say klal or prat of klal. If that's the case, so then we're back to our kasha about shavuos. How come Rebbe in our Mishnah assumes that by shavuos there's shtayim shein arba, that you chayiv even on shavuos l'shaavar? The whole basis to assume you chayiv a carbon on shavuos l'shaavar is if you hold ribuy miyut. And Rebbe doesn't hold ribuy miyut as a rule. He holds klal or prat as a rule. So we're back to that kasha. So answers the Gemara, el v'shavuos nasav alibad Rebbe Akiva v'leilos in the teaching about Shavuos, Shtayim Shein Arba, Rebbe wrote the Mishnah from the point of view of Rabbi Akiva, even though he personally disagrees with that. Rebbe personally disagrees with Rabbi Akiva at that point. Now that's a dochak. We didn't want to have to say that, because we'd prefer to say that if Rebbe was so same a Mishnah, he put something as a Stam Mishnah, that he held that way. Otherwise he wouldn't write it as a Stam. Generally, when Rebbe wrote something as a Stam, it's because he wanted it accepted. He wanted you to assume that that was just the accepted Shita. But if we have no other choice, every once in a while Rebbe will be so same a Mishnah, like a Shita that even he personally, he himself, does not hold like. And that's what must have happened over here, that the Mishnah is so same like Rabbi Akiva. Take a look at Tosos. B'shvus nasala Rabbi Akiva v'lo savala zimnin de lo bay lememer hachi per kisei adam gabi Rabbi Chia de nafalei what's the word over there? De nafalei ya'aniva b'kisne va'amalei Rabbi tsei v'nachar u'parach v'alemalei tsei v'tarov da Rabbi ra'a dvar v'shal Rabbi Shimon b'kisei adam v'shanam b'lashon chachamim. So he says that we find elsewhere in Shas, without getting into the details of the exact case in Chulin Daf Pehei, we find elsewhere in Shas that we don't want to say this, that we don't want to say that there's a Stam Mishnah that Rebbe taught that goes against himself, that goes against his own Shita. Where the Gemara clearly avoids saying that Rebbe taught this and doesn't hold that way. So we do find elsewhere, and what that indicates to you, so it's unclear if Tos is asking a Kasha, right? So he seems to be saying, why are we willing to say that over here, we're not willing to say it elsewhere, but what it clearly indicates to you is that it's a Dochak. It's really a last resort to say that Rebbe had a Stam Mishnah that goes against himself. He wouldn't want to do that as a rule. He would want to avoid having a Stam Mishnah that goes against himself. The possible answer, though, if this is a kasha, why in Chulin we don't want to say that Rebbe taught a Stam Mishnah that goes against himself, and over here we're comfortable saying it in the end, that Rebbe taught Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba is only like the Shita of Rabbi Kiva, Rebbe himself disagrees with it. So again, the Mitzvah Esan in the back of the Gemara says that maybe there's a teretz. He says, near the time of the Milsahu, Mishum Dahasam Tani La Balashon Chachamim. He says a big difference. Over here, it's purely a Stam Mishnah. Rebbe doesn't quote any particular Tana by name who says Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba. When it comes to the Mishnah in Chulin, though, Rebbe doesn't have it as a Stam Mishnah. He has it as a Chachamim Omrim, as Lashon the Chachamim. Now, what's the difference between saying a Stam Mishnah and saying something Lashon Chachamim? Either one seems to be an indication that Rebbe wants to paskin that way, because normally, if Rebbe writes it as a Stam Mishnah, he wants you to paskin that way. If he writes it Lashon Chachamim, he wants you to paskin that way. That's true, but when you write it Lashon Chachamim, it's a much stronger Lashon. Because when you write it Lashon Chachamim, not only are you giving the impression that it's the accepted opinion, you're giving the impression that it's the opinion of the Rove, that it's the opinion of the majority. When it's just a stam tana, so it could be a das yachid. And you're writing that as the only opinion, so that's an indication of something, but still, it could be a das yachid when it's just a stam tana. So we're more comfortable saying that Rebbe, when he disagrees with something, will include it as a stam tana rather than include it as a lashon of the chachamim, because the chachamim indicates already that it's not just a tana, but that it's the majority of tanaim. That's how the Mitzvah Eisan deals with that issue. He has a Tshuvas HaRash that seems to say along those, not a Tshuvas HaRash, a Rash in Bava Metzia, in the 7th parak of Bava Metzia, Simen Yud Aleph, where it says that Chachamim are adifi mistama. Chachamim is always better than a stam, because a stam could be a das yachid, could be a yichida'a, but Chachamim is never a das yachid. Fine, says the Gemara Vayta, we are up to Gufa, last one line is Gufa, about 10 lines in. Gufa, minayin sheinu chayiv ela al sheyesh v'yidiyya b'tchila v'yidiyya b'sof elam b'natayim. How do I know that you're only chayiv when it comes to yidiyya satumah? If you knew about the tumah originally, and you knew about the tumah afterwards, it's only during the action of the Avera when you went into the Migdash or when you ate Kodesh, it's only then that you forgot about the Tumah. So how do I know that's the only case you're chayiv? Tam lomar, vinelam, vinelam, shnei pam, div Rabbi Akiva. Sounds Rabbi Akiva darshan, the word vinelam appears twice, so that tells me that there has to be both a yediya at the beginning and a yediya basof. Rabbi Omar Einot Tsarich. Rabbi says that's unnecessary. Harei Omar Vinelam Mechal Sheyada. From one word Vinelam, it implies that you already knew about it once, because you don't forget something that you didn't yet know. You only forget that which you already knew. So from one word Vinelam, we already know that he had to know about it previously. And then it says Vuhu Yada Harei Kan Shtei Yedios. So we already see from there that you need a yediyah betchila and a yediyah basof. You need a yediyah about your tumah before you actually do the avera, and a yediyah about your tumah after you did the avera. Imkin matam lomar v'nelam. So what do we have a second v'nelam for? We already know yediyah nelam yediyah. We already know this seder advarim. So lechayev al helim tumah al helim migdash. Oh, it must be coming to tell me that you're not only chayev when you forget that you're tame at the time that you did an avera, but even if you remember that you're tame, you just forgot or didn't realize that the place you're walking into is the Beis HaMikdash, or that the item that you're eating is Kodesh. Fine. So that we had yesterday already. That was just a gufa going back to a previous discussion. So now we're going to analyze that brisa that we already had yesterday. So Amar Mar, Vinelam Michal Sheyada. Right? Vinelam, Rebbe says, implies that you already knew once. My mashma, where do you see in the word Vinelam that you already knew it? Samarava midloksiv vihi aluma mimenu. From the fact that it doesn't say it is forgotten from him. Now, clearly from the discussion of the Gemara over here, it appears that the best translation of Vinelam is not forgotten. Right? Shachach is forgotten. Vinelam is not forgotten, because if it means forgotten, then you don't need to, then this whole discussion is a moot point. What do you mean? How do I know you already knew it just from the word Vinelam? Because the word Vinelam, if the word Vinelam means forgotten, then of course that means you already knew it. You only forget things that you already knew. The word Vinela means it was hidden from him. So where do you see from the fact that it says that it was hidden from him, that it was beyond him, that he didn't know about it, that it was hidden from him? How do you know that that means that he once knew about it? So he says, so that you have to be medayik in the word. It doesn't say vihi aluma mimenu. It is hidden from him. It's that he had hidden it. He had made it hidden in his mind. How so? By forgetting it. Amalei Abaye El Me'ata. So Abaye says, really, if that's really how we're going to darshan this, Gabe Sota Duchsev. So if the word Vinelam always means you once knew about it, so how are you going to darshan the Pesukim by Sota? By Sota it says, Vinelam Me'enei Isha, that it was hidden from the eyes of her husband. So what's the rest of the pasuk? It says, V'shachav ish osa, a man sleeps with the woman, shechva zera, v'nela me'ine isha, and that was hidden from the eyes of her husband, v'nistera, and she goes and she has yichud, v'hi nitma'a, and she sleeps with the man that she's having yichud with, v'eid ein ba, and no witnesses were there to catch her, vihilo nitpasa, right? So she wasn't caught. So mechlal daviyada meikar. That implies that the whole parasha of Sota is only if the husband knew that his wife cheated on him and then forgot about it. That can that be? That's what the word vinelam we're trying to say means. But that can't be right. You have a yada, because if he knew about it beforehand, mi bat kula maya. Will the mei sota even work if the husband knew that his wife had cheated on him and that she was aser? Vatanya v'nika ish mei avon v'yishayi tisa savona bizman she ish menuka mei avon amayim bot kunas ishto. The water is only going to be bodek the woman. Mei sota is only going to work if the man didn't do any averos either. But ein ish menuka mei avon ein amayim bot kunas ishto. If the man is not clean of sin himself, meaning he slept with his wife after knowing that his wife slept with somebody else, so then the mayim is not going to be bodek the woman. So Rashi says you have to make a big ukimta in order for this to be a kasha. We have to assume, in order for this to be a kasha, we have to assume that the man then slept with his wife again. Right? That vanilla means that he once knew that she had cheated on him, and he slept with her, even after knowing that. Otherwise, you don't have a kasha over here, right? The whole kasha is how could it be that the mesota is going to work? What do you mean? How could it be the mesota is going to work? It only works if he didn't do an avera. You have to obviously come up with some avera that he did. So Rashi has to make that major ukimta, right? If you look at Rashi, einish menuka meavon shebala achar shenistera, that he had bia with her after she had yichud. That's a case of einish menuka meavon, and that's what we must be assuming is going on over here. So that's kasha number one. Visuga be Torah, and furthermore, does vinelam always mean you once knew? By Torah it says vinelma me'ene kol chay me'ov hashemayim nistera, that the secrets of Torah and the depth of Torah is ne'elam from the eyes of all living creatures. That implies that there's somebody that once fully appreciated the Torah, that fully appreciated everything that the Torah has to offer. But it already says no human being could ever know the full value of the Torah. Even if you know Kala Torah Kula Bal Peh, you know every detail of what it says on a Pasha level, but do you know all the deeper levels? No one can know, can appreciate the full value of the Torah. So how does Vinelam, but it says Vinelam, doesn't Vinelam imply that someone once knew? So that's the Kasha. Vinelam can't mean that you once knew. So that's the kasha on Rebbe. How could Rebbe darshan from Vinelam when it comes to Yedios HaTumah that you once knew? Now before we go on, if you take a look at Tosos, Vinelam me'ini yishom echad davle yediyah me'ikara, he says, yeshem farshim davle yediyah shenitmeis dachi mashmakra v'shach v'shol soshich v'zer Vinelam. So he says, some explain our Gemara that we're saying that the word Vinelam implies that he once knew what? It says vanilla means you forgot and therefore you once knew. You once knew what? So some explain it means he once knew that she cheated on him, like we were just explaining before. Because that's what the previous words of the pasuk are. That she was nitmes vanilla. And that was nela me'ine isha. But he says v'kashal appears there. Dechi dami. How is it possible that he knew she cheated on him and then he forgot about it and she's becoming a sota? Ibishas hashka'a nizkar minatuma. If at the time that he's giving her the mesota, he realizes and remembers, oh yeah, remember that time she cheated on me? Then lama mashkosa, what's he giving her to drink for? The whole point of the drink is to verify whether she did or didn't. If he already knows that she did, nothing to talk about. Divorce her, get rid of her. There's no saving this marriage. What are you being mashka her the mesota? The whole point of the mesota is only to be matal shalom b'nish l'ishto, to be able to vindicate her, hopefully, and they'll be able to live happily ever after and have lots of kids. That's wonderful, but if he already knows for sure that she cheated on him, what's he giving her the mesota for? Vimeno niskar, amay mashkosa. And if he doesn't remember at the time that he's giving her to drink that she cheated on him, well then what's he giving her the mesota for? He doesn't know anything. He forgot everything. I don't know how you forget something like that, but he forgot everything. So habi inun yediya meikaravu, savar shaloi salo yediya meyalam. He's assuming that there never was a yediya, because at the time he's forgotten. So what exactly is the ukimta that a guy knew his wife cheated on him and then forgot about it and he's still making her a sota? Well, he's giving her the mesota. Says it could be that he once knew that she cheated on him for sure, and now he doesn't remember that, but what he does have is he's suspicious. So now it's not that he doesn't remember it, and therefore as far as he's concerned, everything is hunky-dory, everything is just perfect. No, it's that he's suspicious right now. So that's why he's giving her the mesota. But there's another whole approach to the Gemara, that Vinelam is not going on the actual Tuma, on actually becoming, on her cheating on him, but rather on her having Yichud. That it's Vinelam is on the Yichud. Astira Mary Shapir to Bishas Hashka Zachar Min Astira. So then it could work out really well. That he once knew that she had Yichud, he then forgot that she had Yichud, but then at the time that he's giving her the Meisota, he remembers again that she had the yichud. So that's why he's giving her the meisota. Av mikol makom kasha, my chashav le'ein menuka im lo ba la'mishnistra. But Tosfos says, fundamental question, and this is what we dealt with before, why is that called that he's not menuka me'avon? That he didn't, that he's not clean of sin? What do you mean? If he knows or knew that she had yichud, who says he slept with her since then? He's only not menuka me'avon if he's since slept with her. And Rashi made that ukimta, but who says that that ukimta is true? It doesn't say that anywhere. V'yesh lomar kibun deshachach mochiach shelo hikpid v'lo chashav menuka me'avon dafilu einu mocha avon barav benosav ein mayin bochnes ish. So he says, no, because the pshat is that if he knew that she had yichud, and then he forgot about it, so what does that tell you? During the moments that he forgot about it, you don't know for sure that he slept with her, but he definitely wasn't being careful about not sleeping with her, because if there were moments where he forgot about it, so then he wasn't being careful about how he acted with her, so that's not called menuka me'avon. We don't know what could have gone on at that point. We consider menuka me'avon not just to be that he's definitely slept with her. Anything, any minor misstep is not menuka me'avon. So that's the basis of the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara's not assuming he definitely slept with her. The Gemara's just assuming that if he forgot that she had yichud, so who knows what he has done since that point where he had yichud. But that line seems to fit in very nicely with this approach of v'ne'elam not going on tuma, not going on her cheating on him, but rather going on yichud. Going on the fact that she had yichud. So two basic approaches in Tosfos. Fine. Says the Gemara Vayter. So now that we have these kashas, that the Nelam can't mean that he once knew and has since forgotten, Ella Amra Abaye, so Abaye says, Kosava Rebbe, Yediyas Beis Rabo, Shema Yediya. Now, Rebbe holds that when we say that v'ne'elam, and it means that he previously knew, it means he learned it once in yeshiva. It doesn't mean that he knew the specifics of this case, but Yediyas Beis Rabo, that he knew once when he was in his Rebbe's Beis Medrash, when he was a kid, that someone who touches something that's Tamei becomes Tamei and is not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash. He knew that. And he knew that he touched something that was tameh. He just didn't, he had cognitive dissonance. He didn't associate that with his particular situation. So he knew when he touched something, but he just didn't think about the fact that that therefore makes him tameh, even though he once knew when he lived in yeshiva that that in fact does make a person tameh. So I'm like, Rav Papa says, Abaye, El Dukhtani, Ein Ba Yediyah B'tchila V'yeshpi Yediyah B'sof, Mi'ika D'lesla Yediyah Space Rabo. But wait a second, we come up with a case of someone who didn't have Yediyah originally, but does have Yediyah B'sof. Someone who didn't know he was Tameh originally, and then went into the Beis HaMikdash, and then afterwards only discovered that he was Tameh, that, oh my gosh, I was Tameh the whole time. Well, is there really such a case? If you consider Yediyah B'tchila to be even having learnt it in yeshiva once, and that's already called the Yediyah B'tchila, it doesn't have to be you knew you were Tameh. You knew that this action makes a person Tameh once upon a time, and you never associated with yourself. That's called the Yediyah B'tchila. Do you ever have a case where there isn't Yediyah B'tchila? There's always Yediyah B'tchila, according to that. Anyone who's yeshiva educated. Says, the case is where you have someone who wasn't yeshiva educated, someone who was brought up by Gayim and therefore was never taught any better. That's the only case that you could ever have where there's no yediyah b'tchila. Okay, Vaitu. Yitzios Shabbos Taim Shein Arba. The Mishnah said that Yitzios Shabbos, that there are two cases that are really four when it comes to carrying from Rishos to Rishos on Shabbos. So Tznan Hasam, we learned in the Mishnah Mesach Shabbos, Yitzios Shabbos Taim Shein Arba B'fnim, Shtayim Shein Arba B'chutz. In Mesach Shabbos, it says not just Shtayim Shein Arba, but it says Shtayim Shein Arba B'fnim and Shtayim Shein Arba B'chutz, that there are two sets of two that are four. Right? One for the inside, one for the outside. What does it mean, one for the inside, one for the outside? Rashi says, Bifnim means bringing something into the Rishos Yachid. Bechutz means Hotza'os, bringing something out to the Rishos Rabbim. Tosos has several other pshatim. Tosos quotes Rashi in Masech HaShabbos that Shtayim Hotza'a V'achnasa Dechiv Shel Balabayis HaOmed Bifnim. Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim is two ways that the Balabayis on the inside can be Chayiv, by being Machnis and by being Motzi. And Bachutz means two ways that are four, that the guy on the outside, that the Ani on the outside, can be Chayiv. Not that we're distinguishing between Hotza'os and Achnasos, we're distinguishing between the guy on the inside and the guy on the outside. The guy on the inside could do Hotza and he could do Achnasa. The guy on the outside could do Hotza and he could do Achnasa, obviously. V'riva, Tosfos says a third daya. The Riva says, Shtayim d'otza d'chiyuv otza d'ptur, Shein dalet hachnasa d'chiyuv u d'ptur. That the pifnim is hotza'a and bechutz is hachnasa. Okay, fine. So you have all these different different shitos. And finally, Tos has a last shita of what bifnim bechutz means is shtaim shein dal bifnim means chiyuv shechayiv umevi karban aleim bifnim ba'azara. Bifnim means where you're going to bring your karban. It's not where you're doing the Avera, whether you're inside the house, outside the house, bringing in. No, none of that. It's where you're going to bring the carbon into the Azara, which is Beis Hotzos and Beis Achnasos. And Shtayim Shein Dal Bachutz means that there are four cases that you're actually Pater, where you're not going to bring the carbon. So that's Bachutz. You're never going to end up in the Azara because you're never going to end up bringing the carbon. But either way, the Mishnah in Shabbos is much more elaborate. It doesn't just say Shtayim Shein Dal. It says Shtayim Shein Dal Bifnim, Shtayim Shein Dal Bachutz. So Maishna Hachad the Tana Shtayim Shein Dal Vesu Lo, Umaishna Hazam Tani Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, Shtayim Shein Arba Bachutz. Why is our Mishnah so much less elaborate? So Hasam Dikra Shabbosu Tani Avos Vitoldos, Hachad the Lavikra Shabbosu, Avos Tani Vitoldos Lo Tani. So I answer the Gemara, because that's Mesechah Shabbos. So if there's ever anywhere that it's going to be more elaborate and explain all the details in both the Avos and the Toldos, that belongs in Mesechah Shabbos, because this is about Hotzos and Achnasos on Shabbos. It's about carrying on Shabbos. But over here, we're not learning Shabbos, we're learning Shavuos. So we're just mentioning other cases in Shas that have Shtayim Shein Dalud. So including another case in Shas that have Shtayim Shein Dalud, we mention in passing the Shabbos case as well. But we don't have to get involved in all the Toldos also. So Avos Ma'ininu, what are the Avos? Yitzios. The Avos are the Yitzios, carrying out. So Yitzios Tarti Avyan. Yitzios isn't four, that's really only two. It's only two cases. Maybe you can say, no, there are cases of Yitzios that you're chayiv, and two other cases of Yitzios that you're in fact going to be pater. And maybe that's what the Shtayim Shein Dalet is. But says the Gemara, that can't be. Vadumya, the Maros Negoim Katani. We listed in our mission together with the Shtayim Shein Dalet of Maros Negoim, of Tzaraas. And Mahasam Kulu Chiyuva, Avachu Kulu Chiyuva. But all the Shtayim Shein Dalet of Tzaraas, all four are Chiyuv. So how could you say that the Shtayim Shein Dalet by Shabbos, only two of them are Chiyuv, and two of them are a Patur, right? That what would be a case of Patur, where the Ani sticks his hand inside, and the Balabayis puts it into the Ani's hand. So the Ani didn't do an Akira, he only did a Hanach, the Balabayis did the Akira, right? Those are the cases of Patur. What's a case of Chiyuv, where the Ani sticks his hand in, picks up the item from inside, and brings it outside, right? That's the Ani being chayiv. The Balabai sticks his hand, takes something from the inside and picks it up and puts and places it outside. That's the Balabai being chayiv. You need to do both an Akira, picking it up, transferring the Rishus, and the Hanach in order to be chayiv. A Patur case is where you only one guy did the Akira, the other guy did the Hanacha. Right? So the two out of the four cases are actually Patur. Salam Rav Papa, Hasim Deikar Shabbos Tani Chiyuvi Pture, Hacha Chiyuvi Tani Pture Lo Tani. Now, what you need to say is that our Shtayim Shein Arba are all four cases of Chiyuv. That there are two cases of Chiyuv for Achnasa, two cases of Chiyuv for Hotza'a. We're only mentioning the cases that you're Chayiv. We're not mentioning the cases that you're Pater. It's not that we're not mentioning Toldos. Toldos we are mentioning. What's the Toldos? The Toldos Achnasa. The Av is Hotza'a, the Toldos Achnasa. We are mentioning Toldos. We're not mentioning cases where you're Pater. Chiyuvei Maininhu, Yitzios, Yitzios Tarti Yudavian. So it says Gemara, but wait a second. The Chiyuvim are only the Yitzios, and there are only two Yitzios. And it's Gemara, no, Shtayim Dotzav, Shtayim Dachnasa. There are four Chiyuvim. There are Chiyuvim of Hotza'a and Chiyuvim of Achnasa, like we just explained. Fine. Frankly, Gemara, aye, but you want to tell me Yitzios Hashav Shtayim Shinabra means two cases of Yitzios and two cases of Achnasos, but Yitzios Katani, but you called it Yitzios. So how can you say that it's two cases of Yitzios and two cases of Achnasos if it says Yitzios? Yitzios implies they bring it outside of the Rishus Yachid to the Rishus Rabin. So Amar Avashi, Tana Achnasa Nami Otsa'a Karila. Sometimes we refer to Achnasa as Hotza'a also. Mimai, where do we ever have that we refer to Achnasa as Hotza'a, using the word Hotza'a? The Tanan, we have the following Mishnah. Hamotzi mirishos to rishos chayiv. If someone is motzi from one rishos to another rishos on Shabbos, he's chayiv. Right? It's one of the avos malachos. So that's the Mishnah on Shabbos Ein Gibel lists off all the malachos of Shabbos. Right? So one of them is motzi mirishos to rishos. So milo askin to kama ayli yulei v'kakari le'otzah. Now, can't that also be talking about bringing something into Rosh Hashanah? Aren't you also chayiv for that, from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah? And yet you still see he calls it Hotza'a. So what do you see from there? That sometimes we'll refer to Hachnasa with the word Hotza'a. Who says that that's what it's talking about? Maybe it's talking about someone who brings something from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. And that's why he calls it Otsah, because it's actually talking about Otsah and not Achnasah. Same came, Nisni Amotzi Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. My Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. No, if it was really only talking about Hotza'ah from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, it should have said that. It should have said someone who's Motzi Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't say that. It says Merishus to Rishus, which implies in any direction, from whichever Rishus to the other Rishus is going to be included. Da'afilu Merishus HaRabim to Rosh Hashanah, that implies that even from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah is also included in the word Hotza'ah, the Kakari La Hotza'ah. We still call it Hotza'ah. Why do we call it Otsa? Because any time you remove an object from its original place, that's called Otsa'a. Meaning, Otsa doesn't mean taking it out of the more private domain to the more public domain. Otsa means taking out. Whenever you take something from where it started, you're taking it out of its place. So granted, the place it started may have been a very public place and you wouldn't have called it, you wouldn't have thought to call it taking it out, but we still call it taking it out because that was its place. So it's called taking it out of its place. Fine. Period. Amravina. Masnisan Nami Deka. The Ketan Yitzio Shabbos Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim Shtayim Shein Arba B'chutz. The Mishnah Shabbos is Meduyik this way also, that Yitzios must refer to Achnasos, because the Mishnah Shabbos refers to 8 cases of Yitzios of Shabbos. There are no 8. There are only 4 Yitzios and 4 Achnasos. So Elamai, what do you see from that Mishnah? Coming from Shachnasa, and the Mishnah explicitly starts listing off the cases in Shabbos, and it explicitly lists case of Achnasa. So Shmamina, so that's a Raya Shein of Tshuva, that obviously Otsa could mean Achnasa as well. Rava Amar, and Rava says, no, I have a different approach, a different answer. Rishuyos Katani, Rishuyos Shabbos Shtayim, that it says Rishuyos, and not Yitzios, that the emphasis is on Rishuyos, that there are 2 Rishuyos of Shabbos for which you're chayiv hotza'ah. So Rava has a totally different approach to the whole issue. Now the question is, when Rava comes and says Rishuyos Katani, so does he not agree with the first answer that Yitzios can mean Hachnasa also? So it's unlikely that he doesn't agree with the first answer. Tosfos points out that Rashi Masechta Shabbos says that Yitzios HaShabbos Shtayim doesn't mean Yitzios, it means Shtei Rishuyos. Yitzios sometimes means taking out how something is removed from one place to another. The word Yitzios can also mean location. Yitzio can mean a location. And that's that there are psukim that indicate as such, that Yitzios could refer to a location. So Rava is saying in this context, Yitzios means location. Right? So Tulsa says, Ulpirusha lovely missing you beis shein arba b'chutz v'shein dalet b'chutz. It shouldn't have said beis shein arba l'chutz. It should have just said shein dalet b'chutz, that there are 4 possibly surim when it comes to locations. So the kachm fire shri dachkam b'rushuya shabbos yish beis chuyuvim shein dalet b'fnim ube. When it comes to general Rishuyos of Shabbos, there are 2 Chiyuvim Shein Dalet Bifnim, 2 Chiyuvim Shein Dalet Bachutz. Good. Maros Negaim Shayim Shein Arba. Maros Negaim also, we have 2 that are really 4. Tanan Hasam, we learned in the Mishnah, Maros Negaim Shayim Shein Arba, Baheres Aza Kasheleg, Shniele Kasida Hechel, Se'es Katsemer Lavan, Shniele Kakarim Beitza. That the Shayim Shein Arba is as follows. The 2 primary ones are snow white, and wool white. The tolda of snow white is the white of plaster. The tolda of the white of wool is the white of an egg. So I'm Rabbi Chanina, man tana maros negaim delok Rabbi Akiva. Whoever taught you that the tolda of snow white is sid, is plaster, and the tolda of wool is an egg, must be going against Rabbi Akiva. Di Rabbi Akiva, kivin damar zulam alamizu, vizulam alamizu, imkein tiarta sid, hechel milatsarif. Rabbi Akiva generally holds that you can that 2 maros can only combine together to create sara'as if they're only 1 level removed from each other. Now the levels of whiteness are as follows. Snow is the most white, followed by wool, followed by sid, followed by an egg. Now, when you say that something is an av and it's tolda, what you're trying to say is that the av and the tolda can combine with each other. But it comes out that if you can only combine with that which is only the next one up, these things can't be mitzdarif with each other. Why? Because bahadi man litzrafi. What could sid be mitzdarif with? Litzrafi bahadi baharis. You want sid to be mitzdarif together with baharis? Ika se'es da adifaminei. Well, se'es is in between sid and baharis. Baharis is snow white. Sid is two levels down from that. It's not one level down from it. Litzrafi Bahadi Sa'es, you wanted to connect with Sa'es with wool white? Lav Tolda Didehu. It's not actually a Tolda of wool, it's a Tolda of snow white. So we wouldn't be able to connect with anything. But if that's the problem, then you have the same problem with the egg white. It can't connect to anything. You wanted to connect with a mare that's the color of wool. Well, there's sid in between it. That's the level in between. You wanted to connect with sid. It's a told of a completely different av, so it shouldn't be able to connect. So that whole discussion seems to be assuming against Rabbi Akiva. Hashem, will start again from that point tomorrow. Okay, pick up from there with Negat Sarats.